Bitcoin Academy, Bitcoin Media Group, CMG.
Hard in the paint.
Welcome to Hard in the Paint. My name is Aaron Showtime Taylor. Today is one of those special days in a person's career that you get to look back and reflect in basketball, particularly on your life and how it crosses paths with the life that we're talking about today. Back in the 80s, we used to play Pepsi 3-on-3 out at Venice Beach. Later on, after I went to prison, a young man by the name of Nick came over and looked at the same court that I looked at in the 80s and created the Venice Basketball League about 17 years ago. When I first came home from prison, the Venice Basketball League was the first place I had a job at 30 days out. And since that day, everything I've done has been pole vaulted from the Venice Basketball League. So today, I brought some of the Venice Basketball League players in so they can introduce themselves to us, to you. We get to know about my family out at Venice Beach. And at that point, I'll let the doctor start the introductions and we'll go around the table. Go ahead, introduce yourself. Tell them what team you play for as well and what your occupation is on the court.
All right, what's up? My name is Dr. Shireen. I'm at Dr. Shireen on Instagram. I play for Project Backboard. I've been playing in the VBL since 2020. And basically shooter.
Shooter? Oh, no, it's crazy. I'm Grizzly Moons. I play for Team Future Move, best team in the VBL. You can follow me at Grizzly Moons on Instagram. I'm a model, musician, actor, basketball player, inspiration. I'm one of the greats, man.
I guess I'm a doctor too. Sports chiropractor, human performance specialist, exactly. Singer, model, all that.
Chico.
Full disclosure, they have collaborations coming out earlier. I mean, in a sooner or later, you know what I'm saying? It's yes. Maybe sooner than later, but they have a collab coming out. So let's go around the horn and finish this one.
Wait, but I'm one half of the group Vibration, all right?
Okay, all right, hey. We got that one in too. Juice, talk to us.
What's the deal? It's Juice the Athlete, man. I'm actually a full-time student now. I'm doing studying and majoring in communication studies, and also just work my ass off doing security at nighttime, you know what I mean? So I'm pretty very basic, just trying to make it happen when I go overseas. But at the time that happens, I'm going to still be doing Venice Beach League. I'm going to still be kicking with my boy Aaron Showtime Taylor, Moons, Dios, you know, hey. This family right here. Thanks. You know what I mean?
Oh, it's my turn. Okay, so yeah,
whoa.
I also played for Harder Guard with my boy Dios. I'm sorry.
You play Harder Guard? Well, no, wait a minute. This, we have to make sure that we're listening to this brother because you have to hear his voice. The floor is yours, brother.
Hi, my name is Dios Mack. I forgot the questions already, so I'm going to just freestyle. I play for Hard to Guard. My Instagram is at DeosMac44. My occupation is artist, creator, you feel me? I do everything that I'm inspired to do, and I follow it with my entirety.
Yes.
And I am the other half of Vibration, you feel me? So catch our performances, catch our music, Apple Music, Spotify, all that.
So you started playing in 2022, so we actually met each other the first time at Dottweiler.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, since then, let's back up. Before you actually started playing in the VBL, what has your basketball career been like at growing up?
So started playing with boys, never played with girls until high school,
mm-hmm.
And went to college, JUCO, College of the Canyons, never played with girls again for 23 years.
Wow.
Then the pandemic hit, and the boys were not inviting me to their open secret runs. So I started playing with girls again to like get back in shape and everything because I hadn't played for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how I started playing with girls again and getting like into the group, started with X versus X and Meta. And then
that would be the basketball that we have on here today, right?
Yep,
now.
Yep.
Shout out my dog.
Shout out to Meta. Shout out to Meta, definitely.
And I actually met Buddha. Buddha was the first person that I met.
That would be Larry
prior to
Buddha,
that.
Larry Buddha Boyd.
Yes, gotcha. Larry Buddha Boyd. Okay. Met him in the Loot League when I was playing in men's 35 and over league, and we were playing on the same team together before the pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
And then through X versus X, I saw him again. And then he introduced me to Venice League.
Okay. And Grizz, what about you? Before you started playing in the Venice Basketball League, what's your career been like from a childhood growing all the way up to I see you at Venice Beach, or excuse me, at Dottweiler Beach for the first time in 2020?
Organized hoop. I didn't really start playing organized hoop until I got a freshman in high school, man. I used to play like a little, like, you know how your mother puts you in the little rec
league? Yeah, to keep you out of trouble.
I would play like one game and then like not play no more, man. Like, I think I was just too fast at that point. Freshman year, didn't even make a team. Because with the school I went to, I was going to school in Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
Shout out to my man. I ain't going to drop your name, but you know exactly who you are. But they only ever had one freshman ever make the team, man. So I started off as a defensive player then, moved again, became more of a scorer, you know, more of a point guard. And then, like, I moved out here, like, 2016. And, like, I tell everybody, I was watching Venice. Like, I used to be on the side court hooping. That's how, everybody out there, like, it's family, because I was on the side court hooping. And I was just watching Nico and them and all these players, Montrez, Meta, all them come through the VBL. And then one year, I was like, I'm just going to play. And I was already cool with Nico. Nico was like, you don't have to try out. I was like, nah, I'm going to try out, bro. Like, I'm going to go through the process like everybody else.
Right.
I got picked fifth, end up leading all the rookies in points that year. You know what I'm saying? Like, I was playing for Bristol Studios at the time. I feel like I always end up playing for, like, a clothing brand or some brand. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
well, wait, hold on before you go any further, right? Let me make sure I give a shout out, because the team that he plays for, Future Move, which are the glasses that he's wearing right now, I have a couple of pair of them myself, was put together by a gentleman by the name of Austin Saldner.
Shout out my boy.
Austin Saldner came inside of San Quentin to play basketball against the San Quentin Warriors, and I met him in 2015 and 16, and he helped set it up for this to become my family. So shouts out to Austin Saldner and Future Mood on that.
Wow.
But yeah, and so, like, ever since then, man, it's all love, man. Like, I give guys the opportunity to play out there, man. I show up. I was really in the GM role of the last draft, because I kind of have a name out there now. So it's more like everything is just family oriented to me, because one, I'm not from here. So the fact that I can cling to basketball and basketball opens up all these avenues for me, like, it's amazing, bro. I can't thank God or anybody enough, you know what I mean?
Right, I feel you. Let's move on over here to Juice, because, see, I met Juice at Dotwilder like I met everybody else. Him and Biggie Gets Buckets showed up bright and early that day, and I met them on the sideline. So before I met you on the sideline, what's your basketball career been like?
Man, I actually started playing basketball at a young age, but I would never play organized basketball for an actual team.
Mm-hmm.
My pops has always used to tell me, like, hey, make sure you know how to dribble with your left hand since you're right-handed. You know, right. You're going to be tall. You don't want you to be one of them tall dudes that just only dunk for a living. So I was like, all right, pops. But what's crazy, he used to be a custodian at Washington Middle School. That's where I started, and that's in Long Beach. And every day after school, he'd be like, hey, go on the court. Go. I'm going to open the gym. Go dribble with your left hand. Do it for an hour. Matter of fact, go shoot a rim. Shoot behind the three-point line. We don't want you. We already know you can take it in. We already know you can damn near touch the rim. Do something different.
Mm-hmm.
So by
round
the time,
your game out.
Yeah. Okay. So by the time I got to, like, what eighth grade, I had to try out at Narbonne High School, and I was the only one in eighth grade that made varsity on Narbonne.
Wow.
So that was what skyrocketed from there. Ever since I knew I can just be something great at basketball, it's like, you know what? It's turned into a passion. I start loving it to the point where I wake up at 5 a.m. dribbling the basketball, take a shower, then go to school. Right. You know what I mean? Like, it became a lifestyle.
I like that, because last night, I usually do a lot of work in the middle of the night. And one of the memes that I saw last night was one by Kobe Bryant.
Yeah.
Who said he didn't like lazy people. Right.
Mm-hmm.
He couldn't relate to lazy people. You know, he couldn't understand them, and he didn't want to understand a lazy person. Right. And it's just, that is like a testament to what you're talking about now, getting up, doing those drills and those dribbles and taking those shots when nobody else is around to get you prepared for the big moments.
Yeah. And it was funny. I used to get in trouble a lot because my mom used to say, oh, curfew 6:00. I used to never come home at curfew just because I'm always at practice or somewhere else playing basketball. And she was like, what are you doing? You gonna mess with a girl? I'm playing basketball, mom. I mean, I know that type of time right now.
I understand the dedication.
So by the time I got to a senior year, she was more supportive. She was more on me about basketball. She was like, if you really want to do this, this is your passion, you better put your whole heart and soul into it, then make it happen. So ever since then, I've just been a hooper.
And that's when I meet you on the sideline at Dotwilder, and we can move on forward, you know, to the voice, the man himself, Dio's. Talk to us. Before you hit Venice, the VBL, what is your basketball or your sports career like in general?
When I was, I'll say I started in elementary school. Like, elementary school, I was that kid that I'd make up games because I thought I was just, you know, feel me, I was athletic, and I noticed that early, so I made up dodgeball, kickball, like games and all that, and I never really understood any sport other than that. Space Jam comes out, and that kind of, my first crush was Lola Bunny. You feel me? So, and I never cap about that. It was a cartoon first. You feel me? So I fell for her, and then, like, basketball started getting more prevalent because I had this one kid, I'm going to shout him out, but I don't care. His name was Noah. And he used to literally bust my behind every recess. Hmm. And he was a little like a white kid, very rich, very well off. And he would bust my ass and talk like all his nonsense every time, every lunch period, you feel me? And that motivated me to get a little better because I didn't want anybody to have, you know, something over me. It grew to more of a passion when I started playing for the Junior Knicks and stuff like that in New York. And my pops gave me an opportunity to like stay out of trouble. And like the whole summer, I got to be developed by a lot of pro players and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. I went to middle school. I got to become the captain of the team pretty early in middle school. And that was my first experience like utilizing my voice for something positive, which is like just leading other people and making people take positive steps to, you know, become better. Mm-hmm. In middle school, I wasn't that good. You feel me? I was more of a, I dunk now, but all I could do was clap. And in New York, like clapping backboard when you make a layup is serious. You feel me? Like I used to have highlights of like alley clap ons. You feel me?
So, yeah, hella disrespectful.
Yeah, like people really liked my game for that. So like I was lucky to like go through the ranks in middle school. I played for Booker T. Washington, and like that was one of the top middle schools in New York. And from there, I went to Manhattan Center for Science and Mathematics, which is MCSM is like one of like the best schools in Harlem. We play in the AA division in PSAL and play against real big names. You know, Cameron went to my school. Mace went to my school.
Mm-hmm. At 139th and Lenox area?
It's on 116th and 1st.
116th and 1st.
Yeah, right. Yeah. So, you know, I played at Manhattan Center. I got to be the captain of that team. I made the varsity my sophomore year. And I played well there. You feel me? I had like a few looks and a few scholarship offers when I first got to my junior year and stuff like that. And based on decisions with my family decided to keep me in the city. So I played for Lehman College in the Bronx. I got to be captain of that team as well. I played well there. And that was when like the dunking started to develop and I started becoming more of a dunker and stuff like that. So that was like one of my most fun experiences with basketball. And from there, I got to play in Dykeman, Rucker, all the famous streetball leagues in New mm-hmm. York and stuff like that. And yeah.
You bring all that experience with you to the VBL.
Yeah, it's funny because like I got out here and like I got injured when I first got out here. So I wasn't able to walk for like the first 2 years that I was like really out here. The pandemic was difficult for me because basketball was really separate, you feel me? Mm-hmm. But I was blessed, you feel me? Like I believed in myself enough to pay for like a G League trial. I tried out for the G League with a bum ankle. Went to Atlanta, tried out for some overseas teams down there, and I was pretty successful. I did well for somebody with a bum ankle, but now that I'm like healthy again, my mind is focused back on just getting myself on the proper stage and playing in the right places. And I'm just grateful for the VBL. I'm grateful for Grizz for bringing me out there initially and stuff like that, because you feel me, like with all my other careers and all the things that I love to do other than basketball, sometimes basketball slowly drifts away, you know?
Right.
So I'm grateful for it to still be in my life and, you know, have a family that's starting to build off of just the same love of the game, you feel me? So
I'm glad you worded it that way, because that leads me into my next question, but I'm going to modify it a bit because I want to know what the VBL has done for you since you've been a part of the VBL. But we're talking about not just basketball, but we're also talking about positive community involvement, positive community development. We're talking about mentorship and everything else that comes along with being in the VBL. So how do you navigate that? And also, you're a parent as well. Do you see some of the things that you've learned in the VBL as far as teamwork and everything? Do you see that helping you develop outside of the game as well, like as far as being a doctor, say if you have to work with other people and stuff like that? Do you see some of the same elements that are applicable?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think that having those types of people that are in the VBL, like everybody has like this drive and seems to be multi-talented as well. And like Grizz was saying earlier when we were talking, like it's kind of like a family. The environment of VBL is so, it's such a family. So, you know, like with the kids or with other practitioners or whatever, like building that family kind of environment is mm-hmm. crucial, because everybody needs to know that we have each other's back, because nobody's going to be at 100% of the time. So everybody has to have each other's back, lift each other up, tell each other when we need to like step it up or do this or do that or whatever. But I think everybody has a great attitude of just like, let's keep it moving, let's keep it going, best and let's do our best.
How do you take that teamwork and that drive that the doctor spoke about as far as the league goes, right? So let's make sure I say this correctly. Yes. There's the league goals, and then there's the individual team goals within the league. So those goals are to win a championship in the VBL, right? But where do you fit in personally at in the macro goal of the VBL when it comes to reaching out for community work and community development and mentorship?
Well, I go a little bit into my background a little bit. Growing up out of D.C., man, me and my mother actually, my mother is my inspiration to do a lot, man, like, because I'm not going to say my father really wasn't there, but I was raised by women, you know what
okay.
I'm saying? So, like, even with my mother, like, we used to be living in homeless shelters, living in a car, bro, and my mother would still find a way to make soup and feed the homeless in the cold.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, so, like, even when I came out here, it was like, I'm the type of guy, like, I don't take a lot of stuff, like, too serious, like, when it comes to, like, people talking or people doing, because it's like, you never know what somebody's going through, you know what I'm saying? So out there, like, my whole thing is I even drove for the Hoop Bus, you know what I'm saying? I was doing NBA commercials.
Yeah.
And that opened my eyes to a lot, because it's like when you going through these different neighborhoods and these different cities and different states you've never been, it's like, you start to have a different perspective on everything out there. Like, and I see why these people are like this, and I see why people don't come to this side. But it's like, I'm the type of guy that's multi-talented. I could talk to anybody. I can be in anywhere. I can talk to a millionaire. I can talk to somebody on the street.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Because I understand that, like, this hasn't always been your goal. This hasn't always been, like, what you wanted to do. This hasn't always been, like, things have come for you to end up in this situation. But I'm so understanding to it that it's like, a lot of people won't stand. Even people that work with the VBL and stuff like that, they can't go and speak to all these different people in these different walks of life.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I'm able to shine and do that, because it's like, I understand. You know what I'm saying? Like, I've been through some stuff, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, my mother might watch this, so I can't cuss too much. But
I like the fact that he said he gonna respect his mom.
I've been through a lot of stuff, and it's crazy because, like, when people meet me, they don't even, like, as soon as I start telling the story and start talking about my life, they're like, what? I'm like, yeah, like,
but they see one smile, of the, like, but now let's develop that for a minute, because one of the reasons, and we spoke about that upstairs in the sitting area, when I was saying that I want people to get to know the player,
right,
but I want people to get to know the person behind the player.
Exactly.
Because Grizzly Moon, as a basketball player, Dr. and Juice and Deals, they're basketball players. There's a personality and a facet that goes on the court with
right.
that. You know what I'm saying? There's a persona that's moving with that, but then there's the person behind that, right? So if you can do it in maybe three sentences, in less than a minute, give us one of those stories where the impact is the greatest that helps you relate to somebody when you're talking to them, especially when you're using basketball as the vehicle.
All right, I'll try to put it in 3 minutes. Young kid.
No, 1 minute, not 3.
1 minute, got you.
I got you.
I'm gonna make it super short, right? Young kid, ninth grade. You know how you always got, like, the different tiers of school, like the guys that play sports, the guys that do this. And I'm one of the guys that play sports. I'm okay looking guy. And I'm seeing the kid
being messed in the hallway.
Notice
whatever.
The humility and just an okay looking guy. All right, go ahead, bro.
Like, I see a kid get messed with in the hallway, and I approach the situation because I can talk to anybody, and there's no different tiers in my life. Everybody is by themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So go chat it up with him. We'll start kicking it for a little bit. And one day he just hands me a note. And I think it's still at my grandmother's house. Like, but he hands me a note, and it just goes into detail. Long story short, I was planning on, you know, taking myself out. You know what I'm saying? And I'm like, and he's saying, wow. But you come to talk to me, hang out with me and all stuff like that. Like,
wow.
Change my mind. And so that's when I realized, like, why carry whatever I'm mad about outside the streets when in reality, I never knew who I'm gonna run into, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's me, man. I'm looking to be an inspiration. I need to be the person. That's my slogan. I'm trying to be the man I needed when I was growing up. You know what I'm saying? Like,
somebody that don't care about no ego,
somebody don't care about looking masculine, somebody don't care about being looked down upon, but somebody that understands that, like, there's people watching you. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Like, constantly with the idea that I'm a role model always.
You gotta be the role model for them, because you gotta be the role model for the people that don't even come up and say nothing to you.
Let me ask you something, Juice. You came into the league again, 2020, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which player in the VBL has been a role model for you from the moment that you came in as a rookie? Now you're playing in your third season right now, right?
Oh, man. That's so, kind of an easy one.
Okay, well, yeah, well, let's talk about it.
Juice 100, man. Ever since Doc Water, man.
Put the mic up some a little bit. So
ever since Doc Water, that nigga Juice 100, man. This is a different type of dude. It's from day one, you know what I'm saying? Like, every time he gets on the court, he's serious. It's all game time. Whoever's in the lines of the court, You ain't no friend. We ain't nothing. We just ready to play this ball and I'm gonna win. He always had that mentality. And I have somewhat of that mentality. And when I seen that in him and the fact that we won the championship that day, mm-hmm. it just shows me how much of that is needed inside of this game. You got to be serious at all times. Even when you're goofing off at 24-hour playing basketball, you got to always be serious about your game because you don't know what type of opportunity is going to come for you. You know what I mean? So that's the main thing I learned from him is be serious with your game, always making sure you practice and always making sure you take everything to 100. So I see this in his name, just 100. I got respect for him.
Right. I can feel that. Dios, okay, you on the East Coast, right? So give me a name of one or two ballers there that you watched growing up that was like a role model for you on and off the court, because I know they really got some characters on the East Coast when it comes to balling. It's not just what they do on the court, it's what they do off the court as well. That's so impressive. What's some of your influences?
So I'm like, I went to preschool in Amsterdam Projects. That's in Midtown Manhattan. And we had a tournament called Positive Influence. And there was one summer where my modeling career made me go bald, right? So they called me the Silver Surfer in that league, right? But it was also a play on words because my homie, his name was Avery Jimerson. He touched the G League. He's a legend out there. And they called him the Golden Child. So it was like Golden Child, Silver Surfer. And we were two of the top leading scorers in that when I was bald. So like he's always been an inspiration because of what he has, that like dog in him. He's always gonna go at it. He's gonna put 100, but he also could fly. Like he was one of the, he was a little shorter than me, but I used to watch him do insane thing, dunk on people way bigger than him. There was one tournament we played in, I think it was the Rucker. It was just no, it was Kingdome, but it was moved to an inside gym because it was raining and Kemba pulled up, but.
Kemba Walker
pulled up.
I understand. No, trust me, I understand. Right. I just left an ESPY Party Award. You know, I was talking to somebody and was like, oh man, you know, it was okay with Terrell, you know, J.O. was all
facts.
Like, oh, Terrell Owens and Jonathan Ogden and, you know, some other, come on. Break it down for us, brother.
So,
who else was there?
It's funny because, like, for me, because Abe was from my area.
Right.
He was the hero. Kemba walked in and it was still like the air got sucked out the gym. Everybody right. knew where Kemba was going at that point, you feel me? But Abe was that because like his highlights at the end of the day, he would go to the rim and dunk on people at will.
Right.
And he's a shorter player. And that really gave me the motivation, especially when I was younger. Like, I don't think he understands how much he was important and integral to my path because the whole block would ask him the same question. How you jump like that? Like, and everybody, all the little kid, like all people my age, is like, yo, this is toe raises. You do like 1,000 toe raises and all that. you run the stairs and all that. But every answer he gave, I tried. That's how serious I was. Like every answer he gave, it may have been toe raises one day. The next day he started laughing at it at one point. It was like, yeah, I'll just run and sprint fields and I run upstairs every day. And I started sprinting fields and running upstairs. And I let whatever that became for me become. You feel me? Because he really led the way to let me know that like not only can you work really hard, but you can have influence on people based on your hard work. You feel
right,
me? So
exactly.
That meant a lot to me because I love working hard. It's always been in me. But now knowing that, like, okay, if I work hard and I know somebody's watching me, I do this last rep that I don't want to do, they're going to do their last rep. They're going to not give up when they think they need to give up. You feel me? So just being a role model, it really came from somebody that he may have not known that, but like I was trying to take everything he had. Every time he tried to talk a little bit and I could have a chance to sit down with him, I really sat there and tried to digest everything he said because right. I really looked up to him.
It's almost a responsibility in no matter what field you in to pass on information and to pass on wisdom, you know, and I when I'm on Twitter a lot and I'm in Twitter spaces where they're talking about sports, often the people that are in there are like really like so emotionally invested in the conversation that they forget that they're talking about a person, you know, and they're calling this person any other name or any name other than the one that their parents named them because they don't really understand the game. And to listen to you talk about it that way, you know, to listen to you appreciate somebody passing on that knowledge, wisdom, and that understanding, and then trying to apply it, even if it didn't work for you. Maybe it developed something else, and maybe it developed another part of your game, right? Mm-hmm. And that brings me over to back to the doc, right? Because, okay, we call you the doc, but you're also a licensed doctor. You're a real doc,
yes,
you know.
Yes.
And she played ball. She She played ball, right? So when we start talking about, because your field is you know, healing people. So when we start talking about sports injuries and whatnot, and just to give you a scenario, somebody pulls an ACL, not necessarily tears it,
okay,
right? And then there's the, maybe I might be aging myself when I say this, but Bernard King was one of the first players in the NBA who actually came back from one of those type of injuries, not once, but twice, right? And obviously medicine has progressed much more advanced yeah, to the point now where a person can have that type of injury and come back in 6 weeks, right? Mm-hmm. What part do you play in that when it comes to cellular regeneration with the work that you do?
Ooh, I mean, this is more than a 3 minute little touch, but.
But I trust that you're going to be able to give us an advice.
We'll get you a minute. We'll get you
okay,
a minute.
Okay, there we go.
Okay, so it might get a little metaphysical here, but everything happens on energy. Like, you know when you like somebody, when you don't like somebody, you can feel like their energy. You already know if you should walk down this alley or you should take this street. Like, you can feel it. Mm-hmm. Everything in our body has its own frequency, has energy. So, like Grizz, for example, like, from the moment I met this guy, loved him. Like, he gassed me up the whole game. I was, like, shooting all these different shots and, like, just having the best time. Like, his energy is so good. And to hear, like, his story about, like, being homeless, living in the car, basically, the shelters and all that, like, he could be a person that would have, like, a very low energy and people would be like, yeah, well, you know, he had a hard life, so that's just how he is, you know? But he doesn't choose that.
Right.
And so he's healthy. He's very, very healthy. So that changes how fast his body is going to regenerate inside, whether, you know, and these things have been proven through science, through experiments, mm-hmm, about the mind and the inner frequency and energy being able to affect the actual physical, tangible healing of the body. So, you know, just open up, try and educate and empower people to be able to see different things that they can do themselves.
Right.
Outside of what somebody else can do for them.
Dios, you nodded your head immediately. Okay, you go ahead because you nodded. Both of you guys nodded your head, but what popped up on you? Well, hold on one second. What popped up for you?
Man, it's like she said, frequency, energy do attach. You know what I mean? Like, it's like how us, we've been knowing each other for quite some time now. Like,
move the mic up. There you go.
And it is like how she said. I think I disagree with it because, like, let's say a person with low energy, you know what I'm saying, that is in that bad predicament or wherever they're doing with themselves, you know what I'm saying? A lot of people will visualize that, oh, yeah, he's not a good person to be around just because he's in that particular situation. And they try to judge the book by its cover, not knowing who he really is, not getting to know him. And when you get to know him, you know, you can see his real light and how much energy he has. He just, like you said, it's a lifestyle. It's a choice. You know what I'm saying? Like, and everything will help your body, especially if you have.
Where you at with that, Dios?
I mean, that frequency is kind of me, if that makes sense. It's very simple, but complex in itself. Like, everything about my choices since I've graduated college, you feel me? Like, and like gained the book knowledge, everything from there has been spiritual or like frequency knowledge, and like healing myself, knowing about having positive thoughts to heal whatever I'm feeling or healing whatever I'm going through is 100% something I believe in. Especially like I said, like I had an injury that had me not walking and my frequency went down the drain immediately. As mm-hmm. soon as it started to raise, things started to come to my aid. You feel me? Things started to come to my aid that I needed. I didn't have a way to pay rent. Somebody saw me taking a photo shoot and said, you can live here if you need to. And that was just because I started allowing myself to be open, not mm-hmm. because I did anything. You feel me? So I'm a living testament to frequency. You feel me? I'm a living testament of like making sure that you start your day with the higher vibration. I start my day every morning with gratitude and trying to thank my world for having me another day. You feel me? Because I'm grateful for everything that I for breathing at the end of the day. So when you start to get to that level of gratefulness, I believe the world starts to give you everything that you're asking for. You feel me? So and beyond just, you know, material things, health is 100% one of it. So what she's speaking of, what Dr. Shireen is talking about, is something I 100%, I think the whole world should be really on this type of time instead of us trying to feed ourselves pharmaceuticals and stuff like that, that literally drain us and kill us while we could literally heal ourselves with our mind and our thoughts. So I'm here for it.
I'm gonna let Grizz go into it with this question right here, right? And that question is gonna be, where does mental health and wellness fit into this? Because to come from a particular situation that you have, and something I seen on TD Jakes the other morning, my niece called me and was like, you know, check this out. And TD Jakes said, you can't say that you're keeping it 100 if you got a secret.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and he said everybody in the room that was listening to him had a secret, right? And I bring that up to say, how do you, right? Because a lot of people try to hide mental illness or the fact that they may need mental, just to sit down and talk to somebody, right? How does that apply into what you're doing?
I realized, because like, just like everybody and everybody in their life, everybody goes through their own journey. I realized it came with confidence in myself. You know what I'm saying? Like, the fact that I can like tell you, like, look, man, I'm not feeling it. Let me go over here to myself. And I even thank him for that, because, you know what I'm saying, he just became my roommate maybe almost more than a year ago. You know what I'm saying? He helped me with meditation, a lot of yoga, and just positive talk. Because I was one of them guys that, like, it didn't matter if I was in the gym with you or not. You thought you was better than me. Like, it was like, if I missed that shot, I'm supposed to make it. I'm tight. Now I'm mad. You know what I'm saying? Like, why'd I just lose to this guy? Like, you don't even put in as much work as me. But then it also, like I said, it comes with confidence. Like, and this is going to sound really crazy, so nobody judge me. I look at myself in the mirror a lot. You know what I'm saying? Like, I do my mannerisms in the mirror. I dance in the mirror, I dress myself in the mirror, and I just look at myself, like, a lot. Because I realize, like, when you don't think that you're, like, the greatest you or becoming the greatest you, it starts to show. You know what I'm saying? So when I go outside every day I go to the beach, everywhere I go, everybody know me for pulling up in a fit. You know what I'm saying? I got to have a fit on. Some old kicks that might be falling apart, but you won't have them. You know what I'm saying? Like, these from 06. You know what I'm saying? It don't matter. But it's like, I'm doing that for me. I'm never doing it for anybody else. I'm doing it for me. Because I realize every day that I wake up, like, it's a blessing. The same thing he said. Like, we wake up and we thank the universe and thank God every day. Because I could be in a different situation. You know what I'm saying? I got cousins and family members at different situations. You know what I'm saying? So every day I wake up, I'm at peace and I'm at one with my mental health, because I have to be comfortable with that. I have to be comfortable with my flaws. I have to be comfortable with what I'm great at. Because if not, I'm projecting that on somebody else. You know what I'm saying? Like, if I come outside and today I feel like I don't look my best, now you're going to come tell me something, and I'm going to get tight, and I'll project my attitude on you, and you might take that home to your family. You know what I'm saying? Now that's affecting how they grow up. You know what I'm saying? So I never want to be the type of person to do that, because I understand on a deeper level now. You know what I'm saying? Younger, yeah, I was doing wild stuff. I got this cut on my arm from punching the window from being mad. Like, I used to just be angry for no reason. And I had an okay life. Yeah, we was homeless, but I still had fun. I had an okay life, bro. You know what I'm saying? But I punched the window because I was mad. I had to stay home and watch my little sister. Like, that's stupid. Like, come on. You know what I'm saying? So every day I look at myself in the mirror, I look at this scar on my arm, and I realize I could be in a whole different situation or not here at all. So it's my job to impact everybody's life that I meet with a smile. I don't care if I compliment you and tell you look good today. Your shoes is fire. Like, people coming to me in the store all the time. Should I get the shirt? Do you like it? Yeah, you should grab it, my man. Like, it don't matter what I think. But if I got to put that battery in your back for you to buy some shoes or buy a shirt, or ask a girl on the date, I'm like, do it, bro.
Right.
It's the worst that can happen. They say no. Like, come
right.
On.
Live, basically. Exactly. Live. You only really got one life. All right. Before we go out, let me say this. And it's about the theme that we've been speaking about today, which is energy, right? And the transference of energy, the understanding of how to read energy, the understanding of how to feel energy, the understanding on when and how to, and to use this word strategically, manipulate energy from negative into positive to transform it. It's easy for me to sit here and look into the camera and speak to however many people are listening, right? And for you to look at me and think, man, this dude's pretty healthy. You know, he did 26 years in prison. He's come home. You know, he's doing what he's doing. He's living his dreams out. But every day, I have to get up. I have to meditate. I have to pray. And then I have to sit calmly with myself. Throughout the day, I have to take time out and find places where I can be by myself, where I go in and deal with my emotional self, because like millions of other Americans, I deal with mental health issues as well. I deal with depression, I deal with anxiety, I deal with a lot of social anxiety from coming out of prison after 26 years in some hell of a violent places. And then to come out here, and I get very nervous in crowds, I get very nervous when people move fast around me, I get very, very anxious when I'm not comfortable in public spaces. And so I deal with social anxiety, depression, and anxiety like most people. Sometimes I take medications, most times I don't. Most time I can feel it because I put myself where I'm in tune with my body and I can understand the changes that are taking place on the inside, right? I'm not always successful, so I have a very, very good support group around me that catches me. If I don't see myself falling, they let me know you're falling and we're here to help you out. So my word of wisdom to close this show out, because I have my basketball family here with me from the Venice Basketball League. I have my studio family here with me at Coin Academy. I have my family here who is not just my niece, but the CEO of my company. And I have a production here team with me who is also part of my family. You need all of these people, and you should not feel ashamed or embarrassed if you are having some type of mental health issue. Reach out, speak to people, right? Before you do something. Mm-hmm. Get past the embarrassment. Call out. That may be the one call you need that can help you out. Because as Grizzly started off, he went to help somebody, he spoke to him, and that person was right on the edge. But because he reached out and was a good person, was a good human being, that man has a home, has a letter at home right now with his grandmother from the gentleman who wrote a letter thanking him because he was thinking about taking himself out. Mental health awareness. Mental health awareness. Mental health awareness. It's what we need. And don't be ashamed to talk about it. And don't be ashamed to reach out. My name is Aaron Showtime Taylor. These are members of the Venice Basketball League. And we have all today been hard in the paint.
Ooh, my jazz hands?
Yeah, he was.
Like a little man.